you kind of have to decide what matters to you and support that. And something we've learned is that small business is really expensive, and small business is hard to run. And when things are young and little, and people are trying to do things really carefully, it just costs more.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we are learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Small Business Storytellers podcast. If this is your first time here, my name is Seth Silvers, and this season we are diving into the stories of businesses and how a time of crisis is impacting them. And so today I am sitting with somebody who I knew when I was very, very young and have not talked to in probably 20 years, which is impressive since I'm only 29. So I'm sitting with Erica, is it Foyt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Erica Foyt, with Distilled Bath and Body. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited to hear more about your story because, I have seen the products that you've been producing. And it's just kind of been one of those businesses that's like, you know, I'd love to learn more about that. But haven't really had the opportunity. And then I felt like with all of this craziness going on with the coronavirus pandemic, it just seemed like a good opportunity to give you kind of a platform to share your story and talk about how you guys are working to make it through through this. And before we hit record, I learned that the last few weeks have been even crazier for you guys than I expected. So, Erica, share a little bit with our audience about who you are and what exactly you do.
Okay. So my name is Erica Foyt, and I am the co-founder of Distilled Bath and Body. In a nutshell, I make natural deodorant from whiskey and vodka. And that actually was something that began when I was pregnant with my first child. And I'd been on like a several years journey to try to find deodorant that worked and was natural. And I have really sensitive skin, it turns out. And I reacted to everything and had no luck. And during my pregnancy, kind of reverted back to traditional deodorant out of desperation. And my husband lost it, which is really funny because I care more about natural stuff typically than he does. But he started reading medical textbooks nonstop and read all of the ones that are available about deodorant and armpits and came up with a formula he thought was the best thing for deodorant. And it worked really well for me and didn't cause a reaction. So we started making it for ourselves and then found out it was working for other people as well because people were asking us for it. We started giving away a lot. Like a lot, and it got really expensive. So we decided to run a Kickstarter and let that decide whether or not we would start a company. And at the end of the Kickstarter, we'd made more than our goal. And so we had enough to buy a barrel of vodka and get going. So we did.
How much does a barrel of vodka cost?
It's like a few grand. It's
okay.
Yeah. And then a barrel of whiskey is a few grand more.
So. And when was this that you guys did the Kickstarter program?
Oh my gosh. Our daughter was 9 months old when we launched it. So what? 2017. We started it in October and it ended up like it serendipitously ended the day before Thanksgiving. Hmm. And we were really glad because we didn't want to run it through Thanksgiving because it just felt gross to market during Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were like, well, our baby's young and she'd hit an 8-month sleep regression. We're like, well, we're not sleeping at night, so we might as well just run a Kickstarter.
Might as well start a business.
Yeah. And then we can ship at night when she's, you know. So we did. Just would stay up all night and then go to work during the day and stay up all night.
That's awesome. So yeah. What's the problem? Like, why is normal deodorant not good for us?
Okay, so One of the issues comes from the fact that armpits are so porous and that they're so close to lymph nodes, which makes them a bit more of a sensitive zone. And then traditional deodorants, so like basic premise, you have to kill bacteria for any deodorant to work. And a lot of the traditional deodorants will use something like BHT, which I don't totally know what it is, but my husband tells me it's a neurotoxin and he's read the books, so I trust him. And they'll use formaldehyde. Like if you look, like they're using something like that in a paste that just goes on your armpit and stays there, and that it does kill bacteria, but it's also not great for human beings. So there's that. And then you also throw in aluminum, which is used to actually physically swallow pores shut. And if you swallow all the pores in your armpit shut, then they can't sweat, which is why people use it. But if your armpits are constantly, all the pores are shut, you're not cleansing them. And so sweat isn't coming out. And it's not like it's not, like your body's still accumulating things to sweat out. It's just not going anywhere. And so it's like a combination of your own body toxins that your body's trying to release. And then all these other things just kind of get stuck right next to your lymph nodes. And it's like, okay, so there's studies that say that there's no link between aluminum and cancer, but those usually are post, like, there are interviews with people who've had cancer and have survived breast cancer, and they ask them if they died, and like, it's like really fraudulent science. And a lot of the studies that show that there is a link are much more like scientifically conducted, but all the money goes because the big companies put the money behind the other studies. That's what we all hear.
So does this mean that like we should be sweating?
Yeah, people are pretty required to sweat. Well, and the funny thing is your body will actually open up new sweat glands elsewhere. So you're going to sweat the same amount. You're just going to sweat somewhere else. So
interesting.
And your body, like for it to be considered antiperspirant by the government, it only has to cut your sweating by 20%. So it's not. And then, yeah, and your body.
So do you guys like, do you try to claim that it's antiperspirant, or do you think that deodorant shouldn't be antiperspirant?
Shouldn't be antiperspirant. To be honest, there's no such thing as a natural antiperspirant. All antiperspirant that is currently out there is aluminum.
Okay. So this is interesting because from the marketing brain in me, I'm like always, I feel like I think about things from an interesting perspective, but
yeah.
So this kind of means that you're trying to convince, like, are you guys trying to convince people like, hey, we have this new all natural deodorant. Is it all natural?
Oh yeah. Okay. It's all made from food.
Okay. So we have this all natural deodorant. But it doesn't stop you from sweating. Like that seems like a hard sell. And so like, how have you guys dealt with like the story that people have told themselves of like, oh, I have sweaty armpits, so I should like, you know, I should stop. Yeah. I don't want to have BO and stuff. So that seems like a big barrier to get over when selling your product because people don't want to sweat.
Right. I think that a big thing for us has been realizing who our market is and who it is not, because there's an increasing number of people who want a natural deodorant and who understand that like, that doesn't mean you're going to get an antiperspirant and all that. And those people have tried natural deodorants and have been let down, and they're looking for something that actually works. And so that's our target market. And it sounds small, but that market is growing at like 12% per year, 12.5%. And the traditional deodorant industry is only growing at about 5% per year.
Wow.
So there's a pretty good overtake going on. And I feel like it's not really our job or our goal to convince people who are happy with their Old Spice to leave it.
Right.
But if somebody's sitting there going, I've tried Tom's and I've tried Piper White and I've tried the Crystal and it's not working for me, or I found out that Crystal is actually just antiperspirant and it's not good, like I'm looking for something that works, that those are our people. So the thing that has been interesting is the number of people who do write us and say, hey, now I know what the difference is. Like my sweat doesn't stink and it actually smells kind of good. Like I like the way I smell, but it's not you that stinks. It's the bacteria that they actually poop in your pits, and that's what stinks.
So the product is actually killing that bacteria though.
Yep. If you don't kill the bacteria, you're going to stink.
And so where was it, this research that caused you guys to get this particular idea, or how did you get the, like, I imagine, you know, did you just start like putting whiskey and vodka on your armpits, or like, where did that journey start?
Well, you know, we couldn't drink because I was pregnant. I'm kidding.
Yeah. It's like most people are big fans of putting that in their body, just not in that way.
Yeah. No. It kind of came down to this moment where I was getting ready to go for the day, and I was going to go visit a friend, and I really didn't want to stink. And so I was grabbing my deodorant, and Jason was in the bathroom with me. And he goes, please don't use that. And I was mad. I was pregnant and I was mad. And I was like, well, stop trying to tell me what to do. Like, I've tried everything. It's not like I haven't tried. And he said, please, please just avoid it. And right there next to my hand was a bottle of EO brand hand sanitizer. And I just grabbed it. And I was like, fine, this is natural. And I sprayed it in my armpits and I hoped for the best. And I left the house. And when I came home, I was like, hey, it kind of works. Like, it doesn't stink. Or I don't stink. And he was like, well, it's alcohol, but they make this alcohol from petrochemicals, because he's a materials engineer. So he gets, and I was like, dude, you just shot my last resource. Like, I found something that I was happy with. And then you tell me it's made from petrochemicals and I kind of don't care. And so he was like, well, I wonder about whiskey, because those are like alcohol, liquors made with such, such strict oversight. And so he was like, well, we could probably use that to our advantage. Like, if it's food grade, it's meant to go in human bodies. So right. It's not going to be made from petrochemicals. And yeah, so that was like the turning moment.
That's cool.
Angry pregnant lady.
That's awesome. And how has it been since that Kickstarter, fast forwarding to, let's say, through 2019, like, how have things been for you guys?
It's been good. It's been the most stressful thing in the whole world, but we also have always wanted to work together. Mm-hmm. Jason and I do really well working together, and we've worked together before. We used to live in Africa and we worked together there. So we're excited. He got laid off in 2019 and we thought, let's just work for our business. Like, let's try it. Mm-hmm. And our business the revenue has tripled every single year that we've been open.
Wow.
So that's been good. But it's been entirely stressful. And we've hit inflection points too of like, okay, I can't handle manufacturing and shipping at home with a toddler. I need an employee in a warehouse. Like, mm-hmm. It's been like faith jumps too of saying, I don't think we have the money for an employee in a warehouse, but I literally can't do this anymore. And my quality of life is so poor that we're going to make this leap and make it happen. Because I didn't start this business so I could ignore my child while I work on a business. Yeah. I started this business because I want more time with my family. And so it's always been that kind of tension of like, well, if this is taking more away from our family than it's putting in, then it's directly in conflict with our goals. Mm-hmm. And so we make those choices and we move forward, and it's continued to work out. It's been scary. It's been fun. It's really scary, but it's really fun.
So you guys get to a place where you have a couple employees, or you have a team, you have a warehouse. You live in Livermore, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And is your warehouse in Livermore or?
No, it's in Fort Collins.
Okay, cool. Is it like where all the the warehouse district area?
Oh yeah. Okay, like all those tiny businesses that you're like, I know those guys.
Totally.
We're all in one spot.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, I know a couple business owners over in that area. So that's awesome. Yeah, I bet you do. So then fast forward to, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And tell us a little bit about how this, the coronavirus pandemic, how did it hit you guys, and how has it impacted just like your daily work and stuff?
Let me see. I'm looking at a calendar because I feel like,
right now
the days are like 8 years long.
Yeah. Each. I've felt at the time of this recording, it's March 26th. And I feel like every day has, for the last couple of weeks, has pretty much been like, there's a lot to get done. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't see your friends. and it's just another day. Like days of the week haven't, even the weird thing of like churches closing and stuff, like it's like, I've had to look at the calendar multiple times a day to know what day it is. But I think it's, I mean, it's pretty much all happened in the last like 2.5 weeks.
It has.
Kind of. Tell us kind of the timeline and how this has impacted you.
If you go back 3 weeks, I pretty much wasn't thinking about coronavirus at all. I was a week away from pitching my company to a group of investors, a group of angel investors, and I was attending a class that day to try to figure out how to do that. So I delivered my pitch to this class and I did horribly. It was terrible. And I was really nervous. And I put that entire next week of work, of all of my attention, basically every waking minute, into preparing my pitch. And I had a pitch coach. And
were you working with Cindy?
Yeah, I was.
Awesome. She's great. Amazing.
Yeah. She helped so much. So if you guys need to pitch and you need somebody, seriously, like I gave a speech in high school and I drooled out of my mouth onto my shirt because I was so nervous. My face seized up and I like drooled all down my shirt. And Cindy took that and made that person able to speak in front of a group of investors. And I delivered wit and I was funny and I didn't drool.
Cindy Skalicki with On Point Communications is a great pitch coach, whether you're in Colorado or not.
Yep. Because she and I did most of our work remotely.
Cool.
So anyway, then by the 11th, I delivered that pitch and the number of people in the room was like a third of what I was supposed to be because of coronavirus. People were all really worried. And I was still kind of sitting there going, this is ridiculous. And I was mad. I was honestly mad at the virus for ruining my opportunity. and then that was the last day that people were allowed to assemble in groups larger than 10. So the next day, you know, or I guess it was 2 days later that changed because we went to an investor breakfast. And then the day after that, we were just beat. We were so tired. So I think we spent, I don't remember what we did that day, but that weekend we manufactured deodorant with one of our friends who's an investor and also a doctor and another friend. And then by Monday, one of those people had tested positive for the virus. And it was like the whole world just started changing. By that Wednesday, both of our employees went home because one of them had it. And then the other one has it in her home as well. And so for the end of that week, we just shut the business down for 2 days so that the virus would die on all the surfaces. And then we went back and started working that Saturday. But
at the time they were saying it was like 3 days, like, you know, 3 days that it survives.
Lives on surfaces. Yeah. And by now they're like, it lives forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't do a whole lot about that. So, so we were exposed to the virus twice. By that week, we had chosen to only see essential people. And so by like the 15th, we'd chosen to only see people we had to. So we saw our two employees and the two people who helped us manufacture. And that was literally it. We were exposed to the virus twice, and by now every single person in that group has had it.
What?
It's crazy. Yeah, I know. Wow. We're like, okay. Okay. Or has been in a home with someone who has it, I guess. Okay. So one of our employees doesn't, but her son sounds like does. So it's been wild and crazy. And then we decided on that day that we did our pitch, so on the 11th, we decided we should do hand sanitizer because everybody wants it and it's out and we could give it away as well. And that would be really cool.
At the time, was it like, I can't even remember when people started panic buying everything, but like, was hand sanitizer like already running out at that time?
Yeah. I think people panic bought toilet paper, like starting on the 6th.
Okay.
And then hand sanitizer was gone and unavailable and people were worried about it starting that following week, I believe.
Okay.
So like a few days into the hand sanitizer run out, we were like, let's do hand sanitizer and let's start, like, our product is hand sanitizer. It's 70% alcohol by volume, which is, you need it to be above 63 according to the FDA to kill bacteria. So we bump it to 70 because that's the max you could ship it at. And we were like, well, we can just start marketing it. So on that Wednesday, we started marketing and saying, hey people, if you need hand sanitizer and you're out, our product works as hand sanitizer. And then we decided to revamp and make a new product in a week, which is crazy. So we came up with a new recipe for the hand sanitizer and new labels and used packaging that we already have, because packaging has been a big problem. Lots of like distilleries are making hand sanitizer, but they don't have packaging. We have a warehouse full of packaging. So we're like, we can do this. Unfortunately, we are a really small business and we're in this like pre-profitability place. So we have to be really careful with all of our revenue.
Right.
And so we can't sell it for $3 a bottle like Purell can.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And we also don't buy it in that kind of bulk. So it feels crappy because we're selling it for so expensive, but it's still a massive discount for our company. It's just been interesting.
I'm so looking on your website. So like the 1250 is like that's the discounted rate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And real quickly, can we pause and talk about why people should pay more for better products? Cause I kind of am realizing over the last few years that, I think we've gotten used to like really low grocery bills and stuff because it's mostly with like super crappy products. And it's like, so like, can you just justify a little bit of like why people should be willing to pay more money for better quality products and why that's actually worth it?
So one of the things that we do at our company is we make sure that we're employing people ethically. We pay people a living wage and we don't have outside manufacturing. So everything is done in-house by people who are paid living wages, which is a big deal and is not the case with most things that you find most places. Even fruit is picked in questionable ways. Absolutely. So there's that. And then like, we know part of what we do with our product is that we source ethically. So we vet everyone that we source from and make sure that they're paying people living wages and make sure that they're sourcing things without throwing crap into it that you don't expect. So that if you buy lavender essential oil, it just has lavender essential oil in it, which sounds so basic, but it's really hard. Like to find alcohol that is not made from kind of nasty processes has proven more challenging than you might imagine. So, you know, and then of course the way we're doing things, we get penalized. So we pay taxes on the alcohol that we buy and then we don't collect those taxes because we denature it. And we're paying like what we pay for the alcohol is minimal compared to the amount of taxes. We pay 3 times the cost of the alcohol in taxes, which sucks. And so, but we do that because we believe in the importance of the quality of edible grade alcohol. And small businesses don't get breaks. Like if we were a large business, we'd get breaks on different kinds of things, but we don't. So I guess it all just comes down to what matters most to you. And I know people could go crazy trying to find ethical products because there's a problem around every corner. You know, there's a problem with coconuts. There's a problem with everything.
Right.
But you kind of have to decide what matters to you and support that. And something we've learned is that small business is really expensive and small business is hard to run. And when things are young and little and people are trying to do things really carefully, it just costs more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no. And I think that like sustaining ethical businesses is important, like making it possible for businesses like you to continue creating products and continue to grow, because scale is the one thing that can help products become cheaper.
Absolutely.
So you find out that your small team is initially cut in half because of exposure to coronavirus and because of your team getting sick and getting the virus. And you add a new product all within a couple of days. Does it take off? Like does this impact you guys? Because you initially have half of the team and now more work.
Right. Yeah, it's been interesting. So we're getting more orders than we can ship on a daily basis. We do have a timeline for when our employees will be back at work, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And we're working with, you know, what their doctors are telling them. And they're beasts. They're going to get a lot done when they come in. Our employees are amazing. They do everything. They help us with marketing and they help us with, like there's 4 people. So we all do everything, But yeah, it's been a little insane. We've basically, our family is quarantined right now between our home and our business. So there's my husband and I, and then our toddler. Mm-hmm. And I'm like at the end of pregnancy as well. So there's certain things like heavy lifting at work that I can't do or shouldn't do. So it's really like 1.5 people doing the work of 4 people, which is, which is interesting. We do have an office area. And so we did temporarily hire somebody to come in and help just fill bottles with hand sanitizer and label them. But we've got him like locked in an office so that he's on his own. He's not sick. Yeah. And we're on our own and we just don't talk to each other. And he doesn't come in on the days that I go to work because I'm pregnant. So
yeah,
it's really strange. It feels weird. We've like locked our doors and we've left a note for the USPS people because they still come pick up. But, you know, we leave boxes outside and they leave our packages outside and they sign for us. And it's just this really weird, like inhuman behavior. It's very strange.
So yeah, I mean, such a change in just how work looks for you. Like, I mean, it's completely disrupted everything. So you were telling me before, like you guys, you're selling a lot of this hand sanitizer. How much of that do you think is showing you guys like, okay, this is a new product line that makes sense for us? Or do you think it's all like the craze?
It's all the craze. Well, because I mean, we'll probably keep it because why not? Because it's something we can make.
Right.
But at some point it has to go back at the price that our other products are at. And that's going to be difficult for people. And I just don't see it being one of our main product lines. I see deodorant still being this main thing we're doing. We kind of just pivoted because we wanted to help.
Yeah.
And so we have a donation side where people can donate. They can buy bottles to give to others. And we've given away almost 200 bottles now to people who are EMTs and healthcare workers who are literally, we're getting emails constantly from hospitals and nurses and traveling midwives and all. You wouldn't even believe like the kinds of people writing us saying, I'm scared for my life and I don't have hand sanitizer. Could you send me some?
Wow.
And so we're trying to like look through these and be like, which needs can we meet? What needs can we not meet? And how can we direct people to the best help? And lots of people are donating, which is really cool.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's, I know, like Copper Muse, they've started doing just hand sanitizer. My wife actually sent me the article that the Loveland Herald did the other day. And I was like, oh, I'm interviewing Erica like in a couple days and stuff. But it's been interesting and neat to see how some companies have kind of been able to pivot and realize like, wait, like we have these resources that can be really helpful for people and stuff. Yeah. It's been neat to see that community response around this crisis and stuff. So, you know, you can see your people, like your team, like they're going to come back soon, kind of once their doctors say so. But do you see, I know we don't know how long this is going to last. Maybe by the time people are listening to this, like this will just be old news. That would be great. It's highly unlikely. Wouldn't it? but do you see this having an impact on like buying patterns and stuff over the next couple months?
Already has. Yeah. Okay. We've already been struggling to find some of our supplies because people like spray caps, which have been a point of pain for us before in a different way. Now our normal supplier is out. They don't have any. And we've seen people panic buying spray caps on our site. So we had to take them down because they're trying to make hand sanitizer and sell it. And we're not we have spray caps to sell on our bottles, not for other people to buy. Spray caps. We can't buy lavender oil right now, which is interesting. The site that we buy the, like all of our herbs from is just completely down. They've shut down.
So what do you do? Crazy. Like when what you need to do the products, like how are you guys navigating that? And what do you just kind of have to wait?
We're trying to move ahead of things. So we're trying to move faster than other people do, but we're not always successful. Right now, the world is running out of vodka. And I'm not kidding.
And probably mostly from hand sanitizer. I'm sure a lot of people are buying more and more now that they're getting quarantined, but it's probably more for hand sanitizer than drinking.
Totally. Totally. So we're just seeing that like the space that we are in is becoming really crowded. it's good. My husband keeps calling it the beer game, which is funny. It's like, you know, you make more and more and more and more and more of it. And then eventually there's going to be all these people who have a ton of it and nobody wants it anymore because Purell will have their product back on the market and it's $3 a bottle and they can, you know, they can crush all day.
Yeah.
So I kind of see us in this like interim space where we need to not capsize our company financially in order to create hand sanitizer for people. So we have to have the price at a place that we can survive. And then we also really want to get free hand sanitizer in as many people's hands as possible. Yeah. And when this whole, I think it's like a bubble. Like, I think if you give it 3 months, people will be like, oh yeah, remember when hand sanitizer was crazy? And then all the distillers are going to be flush with liquor and people, the cost of ethanol is going to go way down. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
Interesting.
But we're in this pinch point right now. And for us as a small business, we're literally 5 days away from profitability on track with our current sales, which I know sounds funny, but we've got this crappy loan that we're trying to pay off. Mm-hmm. And we're within 5 days of paying that off. And once we hit that place, I don't know what to expect. Like, I really don't know what will happen. Like, our future is so uncertain.
Yeah. Well, it's that's so amazing. Uncertain. Like 5 days away.
Isn't that a weird thing to know?
Yeah, but that's incredible. And I think that is really, really awesome. So what's the vision, kind of as we bring this to a close, like what's the big picture vision and kind of why are you guys building this company?
Big picture vision is that we're really excited to bring more natural things to the world. We want to be able to help people purchase products that are eco-conscious and like just conscious in all mm-hmm. kinds of ways. So we take it as a heavy responsibility to do that. And we also want, like, we want to be ethical from the top down. So we're working on creating a culture that's good. I've actually been in touch with some people who lead pretty amazing local businesses who have been helping us with company culture and just kind of thinking about where we want this to go. And we'd like to see it be something that our family and our employees can lean on stably, which is why hitting profitability is so huge. Mm-hmm. But hitting profitability, like in a recession, in a roaring recession, is, I don't know what that means. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea what to expect. It's funny because a few months ago we were like, we're going to have to sell our house to keep our business floating. And now I don't think I could sell my house if I had to. And so the business just has to take off and it has to do its own thing. But it's something where my husband and I have always looked at each other and said, let's be more adventurous than other people are. And let's do something that's different than everybody else's story. And let's figure out what we care about and do those things.
Yeah.
And, like, really do those things. And for us, the flexibility, like, yeah, we work all the time right now. We work every single minute that we're awake, but we're also with our kid 100% of the time. And I would not trade that for the world. And I get to spend all my time with my husband. And I love that. He's a great person. I married him because I like him and I want to spend all my time with him. So for us, like, the terror and the fear and all this stuff, like, it feels to me like all the fear and the panic I see in America right now is just like everyone's living with the uncertainty of an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everyone's like, I might foreclose my house in 3 weeks. And you're like, I've felt that way for months. Like, I don't know.
Most of these interviews related to this crisis, people have at the end of the, I mean, it's been like, I don't know. Like, there's just this element of, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, I was talking to like my landlord for my office the other day and it's like, I mean, I think things are maybe fine, but there's this element of like, you just have to wait and see for any business right now. And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So, in closing, how can people find you and get your product and stuff? Cause I think that there's definitely listeners, like the listeners that we have in the audience that this, podcast is for is people that want to see business done well and done like the right way and like purpose driven businesses. And I think you align so well with that. So what's the best way for people to stay in touch with what you're doing and find your products?
Well, we are an online shipping business. So the best way to find us is online. So you can search for Pit Liquor, LIQUOR. And you'll find us that way. We are the only people with whiskey deodorant because we have a patent pending. So you can search for that as well. Or you can go to distilledbathandbody.com and you'll find our products there. And there's tons of information. And if you reach out, one of four really nice people will reach back out to you. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being willing to share your story. And I hope that the next 5 days are great for you.
Thank you so much.
Me too. Yeah, that's amazing that you guys are making progress, and hopefully things can stabilize a little bit for you guys as your employees come back to work soon.
Yeah, it'll be nice. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast, Erica. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Absolutely. Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. So, for a limited time, we're giving you access to our community for 50% off. What? It's true, for 50% off. Now, you might be asking why. And the reason is because, honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. So head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories today. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.